How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. My name's Mel. Today I'm joined by Liam as we go through our Greater Western Sydney club review. Liam, how's it going?
Not too bad. I get to talk about a team that's filled with some of my favourite fantasy options and also fills me with frustrations almost every time I watch them.
Oh, yeah, I got to say, I was chatting to Jono earlier and I was like, yeah, I'll do this episode with Liam. Yeah, great. And then I read your notes and I remembered how passionate you are. And I was like, oh, I hope I have the energy to match your GWS passion.
It's a tough bar to reach, but I think I remember this is cool, calm, and collected, Liam, for season.
Oh, that's right. 2024. Sorry, season 9, Liam.
I'm restrained.
Well, why don't you give us a restrained overview of the club that did so well last season?
Yeah, this was a restrained 2 wins at 8 losses.
they didn't want to overdo it.
Which is a restrained worst result they've ever had in the AFLW to date in all of the seasons that they've been playing.
I thought they did better than that. I went to so many GWS games and I looked at this and I was like, 16th, really? I remember them being better. But anyway, continue.
Yes, so it was a side that featured a defense that allowed the most points per game and an attacking group that scored the 14th most points per game. So it was certainly a tough season for the Giants out in the West, and they had an amount of turnover, but I wouldn't have called it a massive amount. They've traded for a number of younger and free agents, a number of younger players. So Courtney Murphy and Michaela Punga from Brisbane, Daisy Walker from Carlton, Claire Ransom from the Gold Coast. And they're probably most notable in is Alicia Newman, who is a bit of an AFLW stalwart, and she's come across from Sydney. In the draft, they took at Caitlin Sir Hoy at pick 3, Indigo Lind, and then they've also picked up Eilish O'Dowd as an Irish rookie post-draft. As for their outs, notably for players that actually played a significant number of games, they've traded Renee Karras, who played 5 games last year. She's gone to St Kilda. Ali Dalloway and Jody Hicks have also both gone to Richmond, and they were full-time players last season.
Yeah.
Now, another fantasy-relevant name, Annalise Lister, retired at the end of last year. Now, she was fantasy-relevant last year, not always for the most positive of reasons, but she was still discussed. And then as for their delistings,
at least we won't have to embarrass ourselves this season by trying to make witty segments on the weekly podcast of Love Her or Delist Her, which
we don't have to make them. Moment. We don't have to make them. We've already made them, so we can just keep reusing it.
Oh, great. Oh, and another favourite.
Yeah, I know. In devastating name news, Tess Cattle has been delisted alongside Zara Hamilton and another player that we love, Tate Mackerel, the Fish. But more importantly, they've lost Tegan Germick, who was a ruck/utility, played 7 games last year, Izzy McClay, who played 3 games last year as a defender, and then Grace Hill, who played 6 games as a taller defender/ruck last year. So they had a huge amount of game turnover without necessarily superstars leaving the team.
It definitely makes for an interesting kind of club rebuild because that's still quite a lot of movement. And well, speaking of traded players, our GWS episode this season is actually an interview with Michaela Pauga. So let's throw over to that now.
G'day everyone. We are very, very lucky to be joined by new GWS Giant recruit Michaela Pauga. Michaela, how are you going?
Yeah, really good. Loving preseason at the moment. Getting close to practice games. So, yeah, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's super exciting. Firstly, I guess, how are you settling in Sydney after the thrilling premiership victory you had last year?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think I've been really lucky with the group that we have at GWS. It was a pretty easy transition going into their group. They're just so welcoming and there was just such an easy slide into the group. They're also just lovely people all spread out around Sydney. So it's easy to catch someone wherever you go. It's just been amazing.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I guess moving from Sydney and moving away from your family, I guess you've said recently that you grew up with quite a large family. How are you coping with a bit more space away from them? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
I think I've always had a little bit of separation with them. So I moved out straight after high school.
Nice.
But yeah, it's very different not having them in arm's length. Even just trying to organize when to go home and see my parents, or like trying to catch my sisters, because we're all pretty spread out now, but I'm the only one in New South Wales, which is a bit annoying. But no, it's not too bad.
That's good. And well, it's really good to hear that you're settling in well in Sydney. For those listeners who don't know, you've just moved from the Brisbane Lions and you became a premiership player last year in just your 15th game. That's obviously a very exciting thing. How have you sort of gone about the change from going from the premiership club to a club that's probably looking to push towards the finals this year?
I think at Lions, I was always probably the young cub in their group. And obviously, they had the su success before I came to the club. I think I got drafted off the back of their previous premiership. So, personally, I felt like going there, I was just thrown straight into a really high performing, very experienced group. So, from a development point of view, I think it was so amazing because I kind of, yeah, got chucked into the deep end and had to learn fast. And that first year, we had the double season as well. So, I played those two seasons in my first year. But I think it was such a amazing group to like be surrounded by because, yeah, I'm coming into technically my fourth season now, and I've had all this experience and like watched some of the best players in the comp play. And then, yeah, coming into Giants, I think kind of having that to bring over with me. I'm not necessarily the most experienced player and I'm still quite young. But yeah, kind of like being able to bring that different perspective from a different team. And I think, yeah, it sparked a few really interesting conversations amongst the coaching group and just with the players, kind of like navigating what kind of brand of footy we want to play, especially with so many new players as well. Yeah, it's just, I think it's just nice having that different perspective because obviously probably different kind of game styles, but there's always room for improvement. And I think, yeah, having that's been really nice.
Yeah, for sure. And you say sort of you got a bit of a new perspective at the Giants. You were mostly a small forward when you were playing for the Lions, and you've expressed that you're probably keen to pursue a more midfield focused role. How's the training with the midfield group been going so far?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think, yeah, probably didn't get as much time in the midfield as I wanted in Lions, but yeah, what I was training and like watching some of the best midfielders in comp, obviously Emily Bates, who's now moved on to Hawthorn, and Ali Anderson, and even like some of the other girls coming through. Like Kathy Spark is a beast, and Belle Dawes is just like an up-and-coming midfielder. She's gonna be a massive name. Yeah, it's been really cool coming over to a different team with, yeah, you got the Beesons, who's been playing since season one. You got Elise Parker, who also is so young, but she's such a dominant player, and just kind of working with those girls and picking their brain and how they like to move around and how I can use my skills and assets to really complement their midfield. Yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, and you mentioned Elise Parker. She's an absolute favorite of us here. As you say, still so young, but such a strong presence in that midfield. And you've also got exciting young talent such as new draftee Caitlin Serhoy. So it sounds like it's going to be a really dynamic and interesting and young midfield group.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and obviously, as we said, you spent a bit more time up the ground of the Giants, but you did make your name as a small forward. How's the forward line cohesion going at the Giants? You've also got another new recruit, Alicia Newman, coming in. So, have you had any time working with them, or has it been mostly midfield focused for you?
I think it's been mostly midfield focused for me. Obviously, as we get closer to plan proper matches, and we'll have to try to organize what rotations and everything look like, with the cap on that. And also, yeah, just position wise, I think a lot of their last coming off last season, a lot of their forward actually did drift in through the mids as well, as they like kind of were trying to organize how they wanted to play through their midfield and find their feet. So yeah, I think there's been more of a distinct forward and midfield group, which I think has been really good for the development of the group. So everyone can really focus in and double down on what they need to do in their position and how they can really impact the team. But yeah, you never know, like the best teams in the comp, their midfielders are impacting the scoreboard. So I think that is a focus of ours, even though we may not be exclusively running through the forward line, we still want to have midfielders that can impact on the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, of course. And one of those forward midfielders was Elise Parker last year, who actually spent some time at full forward. For the fantasy players at home, we're hoping that was a temporary thing. Is she mostly staying in the midfield?
Yes, for sure.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. But yeah, the Giants have obviously got, as you say, a few new faces in the group, which makes for exciting times. Has that sort of affected the way that the game plan's shaping up, or is it more Cam Bernasconi trying to, you know, reinforce that with the group and build on what they built last year? Has there been much tinkering with the game plan, or is it mostly just building on what you know?
I obviously learning the game plan as I've come over, but from honestly, like with the new girls that have come in, I feel like it's really just enhanced their game plan and yeah, bringing in people that are quite fast and like even just the footy IQ and young players, but all players that have been in the system before. We have like a fair few girls that they pulled through in the trade who have been on previous lists. So I think that from that perspective, it's kind of been good because they're not girls that are completely brand new. They are girls that have watched the Giants before and played that. So yeah, I think there's a few really exciting players that are going to really help that run and carry Orange Tsunami kind of game plan that they've been trying to push the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of like Orange Tsunami and players who are really taking that next step, we can't really talk about the Giants without talking about Zali Goldsworthy, who we absolutely love watching and really took that step last season, where she went from being a forward into the midfielder, similar to what you're hoping to replicate this year. How's working with her been, given the talent that she possesses?
Yeah, I think it was being able to play in the VFLW series was a big advantage for us. I don't think I've never actually personally played against Zali. I think we played Giants in my first year before I even debuted. So I never actually have played but on the field at the same time as her. And yeah, even just watching her in that VFLW, like her goal sense is unmatched. Like she's such a crafty player and she's smart. And yeah, it's nice having her be able to like come and run through the midfield sometimes, because she just reads the game at another level that a young player, you don't really expect them to have that kind of smarts. And I think we're going to see that a lot more as the years go on with the new players coming through. But yeah, I think she's so exciting. Like you just know what she's going to do. She's so smart. And I feel like, yeah, sometimes you look at her and you're like, oh, she knows what I'm going to do. This is so great. So yeah, definitely like ball and chains with her.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of working in that midfield, there's been a bit of shuffling around with the ruck situation at the Giants, with Fleur Davies has unfortunately missed quite a bit of footy due to injury. Renee Karras has now moved down to St Kilda. Is Fleur Davies shaping to be that number one ruck, and how's she shaping up this preseason?
Yeah, I feel like Fleur is someone that's always going to be dominant because she has that size on her, because she can get up there and body her opponents. And yeah, she is so young. And so I think as a group, we really just want to make sure that she feels confident in her abilities and know that we all can support her in her role as well. So yeah, I think like new kind of ruck for me as well. And I think I'm still learning her, but even just watching us when we're in training, like the girls read her so well. And
yeah, nice.
So yeah, I definitely think she's going to be a great asset for us this year.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear, because as we said, that missed a bit of footy due to injury. So a clean run of health for Fleur Davies will definitely help the Giants.
That's for sure.
Probably the last main thing in terms of a team thing. The Giants really struggled defensively last season. They conceded more points than any other team. Has that been a big focus, the defensive side of things, so far this preseason? How are you as a group sort of looking to address that defensive aspect of the game plan?
Yeah, that was definitely in the chats very early on. And I think we set that standard from the very start, from when we started in VFL. We didn't want teams to be able to just like run off us. And
yeah, of course.
I think it's quite deflating when you work so hard and you get it to the forward line and teams are able to rip it straight back. And I think that's a tactic that a lot of the top teams are really like implementing, and that's why they are so dominant, because they can do that. And I think Giants actually do have quite a talented and strong backline group. I think it's just getting everyone on board that just because you're a forward or just because you're playing this position doesn't mean that you play a hand in that defensive role. So, yeah, I think we've been really nailing down on that, making sure just with our running and conditioning, even making sure we're hitting those markers and putting in the full efforts. And, yeah, it's from what I've heard from the girls, yeah, it's been a massive change, the training standards from the previous seasons to this year.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And well, we're super excited to see how the Giants shape up this year. You've got a really exciting team. So I guess the last question we have and the question we love to ask is, who have you been most excited watching this preseason and look set to have a really big season in 2024 for the Giants?
I might be biased here because I am a big fan of all the new girls. but I also love an Irish girl. So Ailish, oh, yes. I don't know what she's going to bring. Like she just amazes me and everyone else on the team every single day. So I think she's going to be a really exciting player to watch. And even Caitlin Serhoy, like just her running abilities and all of that, and just her effort that she puts in, I think they've got really exciting seasons up ahead of them.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And we definitely love an Irish recruit here at Freekick as well. So I think that'll be super exciting. Michaela, thank you so much for your chat. Good luck for the season ahead.
Thank you so much.
That was a great interview. I love that we've got an interview with a player who hasn't been that fantasy relevant up until now, I got to say, but it's definitely a name that we're going to be hearing of more this season. So let's have a look at our top five most fantasy relevant players for GWS now. I mean, I don't even need to ask who you've got for number one here, Liam.
Should come as no surprise.
Who have you got for number
one? It's the ZFG. It's Zali Goldsworthy. She was a must-have by the time we got to the end of last year as a forward. Now, as more of a midfielder this year, she's going to be a tougher pick, but I still think the stats stack up. She's going to come in priced at 90.7, but there's a couple of things to remember. She only managed to average 71 across the first five games of last year, including a 26 in round one, where she played nearly 100% time on ground, but sat deep full forward. And then you add in the fact that if you remove her round one score just across the rest of the season, she averaged 98. There's already some pretty comfortable value in there. But then you think about the fact that in the second half of the year, she's averaged 110, including, I'm going to call it the best fantasy performance of last year, albeit not necessarily the highest score. And that was 168 against Carlton, where she's kicked five goals, she's laid 12 tackles, taken seven marks, and played 100% time on ground, but only had 50% CBAs. I don't think I had more enjoyment watching any game of football for a single fantasy player than that last year. So she's got the wow factor watching her just without fantasy, but she's an absolute fantasy pig. I think that if you're looking to go an underpriced M2, she's got to be pretty high on your cards to pick.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely, based on that, her ceiling and her average at the back end of the season, like 90, yeah, she's a bit expensive, but like she's not going to stay at a 90 average for long. So she's, without a doubt, she's value. It's just about how much. but she's not going to be too hard to cough up for M2, considering she's, what, the 20th maybe most expensive player or something. So she's definitely got a lot of other players above her. So she can fit in nicely there. Liam is frantically checking, I can see.
Yes, I am trying to get to you. Yeah, she is the 20th most expensive mid, most likely.
Yep, that was good off the top of my head. Zali. And I didn't even have her last season, and that was still an amazing game to watch. Like, she's just, I mean, I would recommend putting her, for all people that plan to both enjoy AFLW and play AFLW fantasy, I would recommend having her in your side, because it means you get to fully enjoy that experience of watching her play and not have to be a little bit annoyed at the same time that you don't have her. But she's just so good.
She's incredible, and she truly does redeem for what is an otherwise very frustrating GWS team to watch.
Yes, well, hopefully there's at least a couple more players you don't find too frustrating in the squad. Who have you got as number two?
Well, you've already kind of given away the game by mentioning that we should be discussed later, but I've actually got Michaela Pounger. Now, that for anyone that's played this game before, and if you go look up her stats right now, you're probably sitting there going, what on earth are you talking about, Liam? She's average. She's played two seasons and played 17 games. Her highest score to date is 50. And last season, in games where she averaged more than 50% time on ground, she averaged 33.
My only reference to this name is she's someone that I have looked at multiple times over the last two seasons when I'm like really stuck in a trade and I'm like, oh, if only I could just afford someone. And I look at her and be like, nah, and move on. So the fact that she's now coming up as the second most fantasy relevant player in a club review, fascinating. Tell me more.
Okay. She comes across from the Lions where she got some criminally low time on ground. She had very few performances where she had substantial time on ground above 50%. I think she might have only had two, often seen as a bench player. But the reason why I like her is what she's been doing as a midfielder for the VFLW team. So for those that weren't across it, GWS played five games in the VFLW this year, and they, alongside Sydney, sent along, I'd say, two-thirds of their AFLW list to play. So we've got a pretty good look at who they're expecting to play this season and in what positions they'd at least like them to be playing. The one, and obviously Paunga was playing midfield. What she was doing there was pretty spectacular. So she averaged 19 disposals, 9 tackles, 2.5 marks, and kicked 4 goals across the 4 games she played, and also polled coaches' votes in 3 of those games. And with all those stats, she's managed to average 94 fantasy points per game.
Mm.
That is
nice.
Pretty good areas. And so given that she's going to be coming in priced at 28, so she's only just above rookie priced.
Yeah.
And I mean like basement rookie price, like she'll be cheaper than a number of high draft picks. Not many high draft picks are scoring the points that she did playing VFLW games, and not a single one of them is having a game with 18 disposals, 2 marks, 14 tackles and a goal for 109. And that was against the Southern Saints in round 4. So the writing is really on the wall, and you know, we've got some evidence now to suggest that she's a capable fantasy scorer. It's not her first season in the AFLW either. We're not picking a true rookie. I am all on board for particularly Pound as a forward.
I was about to say, the forward listing really adds into it as well. Like, you've got this forward listing and then you've got this complete opposites from seasons. Low time on ground at a very good club that's got a very stacked list, coming over to a club that's second, third from the bottom, where they're willing to play players at 100% time on ground if they're good enough. So that's just immense amount of potential for someone listed as a forward. So do love to see that.
Yeah, and we're often in the position where with forwards, we're looking to avoid key forwards wherever we can. So if Paunga's going to play any midfield time, I think a 60-plus average is on the cards, and that's more than enough value to sit in your forward line for the first half of the year.
Oh, 30-plus points is more than enough value, is it? Oh, good. Don't think we're seeing many other players go up 30 points.
That's what I go for value every time. So, you know, it's just
that's the benchmark.
Good for me. Yeah, of course.
Ah, okay. So over to player number 3. We've gone from a new name to a very old, well-known name.
She's our favourite. She's Piggy Parker, Elise Parker. She has been a premium in our sides now for many seasons, and I doubt that that's going to change in 2024. Coming in price at 96.4, I think that she's still got 5 to 10 points of upside. I think that if we do see some improvement from Zali Goldsworthy, that also takes away some midfield attention from Elise Parker, which has often been something she's had to grapple with. Look at the fact that she got double tagged by Court Rowley and Emma Swanson when they played the Eagles in round 7 of this year. To only score 72 points. I think that that's less likely to happen if Zali Goldsworthy becomes the superstar mid that sits alongside her. Add in the fact that there were definite stages of last year where Parker was sitting forward earlier in the season because she had been injured in the preseason. And that probably neutered some of her ceiling scoring. So I think Elise Parker to pop back or to pop above 100 as a scorer this year is definitely something I'd be predicting. If she's going to present enough value right up front, I'm still unsure in thinking about if she goes straight into my side, but I doubt that I'll get to past like round three where I haven't considered bringing her in as an upgrade.
Yeah, I think she's a good name to be paying attention to. And that, I was just having a look at her scores. The last game she played of last season before she really accepted the injury was round seven. But that St Kilda game, I was there with Will, and immediately afterwards she walked off and chucked a boot on her foot and didn't come back. She was nursing an injury and got 105.
Well, she did that whilst injuring herself in the third quarter, having got to like 90 halfway through, sat out the rest of the third, came back on for the fourth, sat deep full
bit
forward.
Bit of a hobble.
Still managed to hobble her way. She kicked a goal in that fourth quarter as well. She's an absolute titan. Any midfielder worth their weight would be wanting to play like Elise Parker. She's one of my favourite players to watch. I don't think she has a single weakness in her game. Yeah, I haven't actually even managed to talk about the things that frustrate me about GWS next, but I think we might get to them for the next player.
Okay, let's hear him. This is someone that was definitely in my side, and I think I contemplated how many weeks in a row I was going to leave her there before I eventually traded her out.
That player is Tani Evans. Coming into the year, price is 65. That looks good. That's 13 points up on last year.
Looks fully priced, yeah.
Well, the reason why I like her this year is if she can do what she did in the first half of last year, I think she's a great pick. She had high scores of 88 and 73 and 75, averaged 72 points for the first half of the year.
And that was about when I had her in my side, and it was great. Yeah. And it was like, this is a great choice. I'm so glad we've all got Tani Evans, a defender, and then didn't quite plan out.
That's a top three from last year.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the second half of the season happens. Her time on ground dropped. GWS decided that they were going to flaunt a new game style that meant that they would give the ball to her less and give it to literally anyone else leaving D50.
And that worked so well.
And her time on ground went down by 20%. So she went from 95 down to 75. I like her this year because I genuinely believe that coaches will come to their senses and have her get the ball more. And you also add in the fact that Jodie Hicks, who was a defender for them last year, is now off to Richmond. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that with that will come a better market share for Tani.
Yeah, I mean, that's all great. And we liked her last season for a reason, all of those reasons you mentioned above. And now we see a bit of a shuffle in the team to give us some more opportunity. So I'm glad that we're talking about Tani Evans as a great option again, because it was quite sad at the back end of last season, ruling her out.
It is screaming, I'm ready to get hurt again. That's what it's feels
like.
That
is also true. And now going from someone that, you know, we had last season for a bit and we're happy to be talking about again to a new name. Who have you got for number five?
This one's real specky, but I think there's a reason why I can explain it. So it's Eilish O'Dowd. And the fact that she's a 300K basement price ruck should explain most of the reason why I'm intrigued. There are a lot of ruck type players from last season that are no longer on the GWS list. And as much as O'Dowd has come from Ireland, where she's been playing Gaelic football, she's already clearly making an impact. They see her as a taller utility, much in the mould of Ashley Maloney or Anya Tighe. And she's already gotten coaches' votes in her third ever game in the VFLW shortly after she'd arrived to play for GWS. She's managed to average 60 in the VFLW. She's managed to average, on top of that, 13 hitouts a game, and also managed to rack up some tackles. Even in one game, I think she might have even had 22 touches against Geelong in round five. So clearly a capable user of the football. I'm unsure of what the ruck setup is going to look like this year.
Yeah.
And to add to all of that, Michaela came on and said, that's the player to watch. And I'm not surprised, having seen some of her highlights and then reading about what she's looked like in the VFLW, she just seems like you just got to sometimes pick talented players to be able to do things, to score enough points to be value as a basement price rookie ruck.
Yeah, she sounds like a good enough combination that even if we don't know where she's going to play necessarily or what that ruck lineup is going to be, you hear all of these good things and you're like, well, there's going to be value in there somewhere. You just have to hope that the coach puts them in a position that works out well. And that is not something that you've enjoyed in the past.
No, it's unfortunately, I don't know if I trust Cam Bernasconi to put her in high scoring roles, but at the very least, she had to be on this list to make sure you're watching out for her in the preseason games, because I think it's her and Lily Pierce, who we'll talk about when we talk about Geelong, are the two basement rookie options that we have to be watching this year. That's why she's on the list.
I like it. Well, for my host special pick, I'm going to take what you talked about with the rucks there and build on it and go with Fleur Davies. So this is someone that we were quite excited about previously because she was the All-Australian under-18 All-Australian ruck. And then she came into last season at GWS and didn't have a huge first season. So it means that she's now coming in priced at about 40. So she's in a band with some of the other kind of slightly above basement rucks that we've been considering. You've kind of got your Lauren Wackford there. Who else? Liz McGrath from previous season. Spoke about her a bit. Renee Karras, who's moved over to St Kilda. So she's kind of in this band of, they could go big now, but they're not basement price. So you're not probably going to be considering it to start off with. That would be a unique ruck strategy. But one to be watching, because with Renee Karras traded out, she's probably going to be the solo ruck. And we heard Michaela mentioned that as well, that she's fit and ready. And that the fit, I think, is the key component that we really needed to be able to back this in as a contender, because last season, the thing that I reckon let her down the most was just her time on ground. She was subbing out a lot between, who was the other player? Gurmec?
Tegan Gurmec.
Gurmec. Yep, nailed that. Tegan Gurmec and then Renee Karras. So she wasn't holding that role for herself. But if Michaela is saying that she's fit and ready for that solo ruck role, this could be a good opportunity for her. And maybe we'll see some of that potential that we were excited about previously. But yeah, definitely a bit of a specky special because of the band.
It's a real risky band to be dabbling in, because if it fails, I think it takes a real team rebuild on the fly to get it to work.
Your rookies will be of value by then.
Yeah, you're really hoping that at that stage that a rookie ruck has popped that's fieldable. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to have to probably get rid of some premiums to bring in someone that you trust to score. But I can see why you'd go there. She was so highly rated in her draft class. She was the most highly rated ruck 2 years ago when she got drafted. And I think as much as I like O'Dowd, I don't know if she's going to ruck over the top of Davis when O'Dowd was rucking against Geelong as the predominant main ruck. Davis wasn't playing. She and Davis did score an 87 and a 72 in her two games in the VFLW, and she was very hit-out dominant. Possession still low, though, which is a bit of a watch on her fitness and her time on ground, but we know that the talent is there. The whole Davis family are pretty talented footballers. Mm. It's just, can she put it together this year? But I'm certain that at some point this year, whomever is rucking for GWS will present value for our fantasy teams.
I think so. Well, that's been our GWS review. Next up, we've got Port Adelaide as we go in reverse ladder order for this season. Jump over to our socials, FreeKickWPod on Insta and Twitter, to have a look at our best 21, which will be popping up shortly as well. And you'll hear more from us soon. Bye.
Bye.